chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Brother Ron, would you pray for our service tonight, please? Amen. Now turn over to page number 11. All creatures of our God and King. Page 1-1.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia, thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, oh praise him, oh praise him, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise him, alleluia. Thou rising morn in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find revoice, oh, praise him, oh, praise him, alleluia. Tender heart, forgiving others, take your part. Oh, sing ye, alleluia. Ye who long pain and sorrow bear, praise God on him who casts your care. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him, alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him, alleluia. Blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below. Oh, praise him, alleluia. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him, alleluia, alleluia.
What a great song. Our last hymn this evening that we'll sing is page number 47. Fairest Lord Jesus. 47. This is my daughter Mackenzie's favorite hymn. Sounded good on that flute. I thought it would take her a little longer to get back in the groove. Because the other day when Marty Harkey, I called him Marty, I know, but Marty Harkey talked about the other day about continuing playing stringed instruments from time to time, if nothing else, just to get the pads, the calluses on the tips of your fingers, keep them there. My calluses are gone. So when I play, oh, it hurts if you play for any length of time. But Robin, you did great. Tonight, if you had one word to describe the song service we just had, if you were paying attention, I don't know if you were, but what would you say the one word would be? Uplifting. That's a good word.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Anybody else?
Glorifying.
I'm looking for a noun. These are all adjectives. Jesus, that's good. Thank you. King?
Thank you.
Creation. I gave you the answer. You all fail. No, I'm kidding. No, it was creation. But all those things do. You talk about creation, it's uplifting it. Displays Jesus. It's praise the Lord. It's hallelujah. I'll get into why I brought this little devotion tonight here in a moment, but we'll start off with, let's start off with the song we sang, All Creatures of Our God and King. That's on page number 11. This may be, and I'm not sure, I didn't check, but this may be the oldest hymn that we have in our hymnal. This was written, this song is based on a poem that was written by St. Francis of Assisi. Probably most of us have heard of him. There's a hospital in Tulsa named after St. Francis. He's a patron saint of Italy. He was a rich young man born into a wealthy family in the late 1100s. So we're talking 800 to 900 years ago. And he joined the army, and back in those days in Europe, that was nothing but warfare after warfare. They were constantly fighting. And so when he got out of the military, he devoted his life completely to Jesus in a way that he forsook his riches. He wanted to live a humble life as Jesus did. And so he led a life that was of meager means. He would go around. He was very fond of creation, creatures, nature in general, as most people are, but him even more so than most. And his entire ministry was basically built on the love of Jesus conquers sin. The love of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, is what saves mankind, not all these other things. But he wrote the poem, and it was inspired by the Psalm 148. So if you would like to turn there, we will read Psalm 148. And just to, before we read the psalm, to go into a little bit more history about this tune. Now, he wrote the poem. In the early 1900s, a gentleman named William H. Draper, he made it into a song. And, of course, I didn't do enough research on this. I'm not sure if this was written in Latin or just Middle Ages Italian. I'm not sure, because Francis of Assisi, that wasn't actually his original name, but it was changed. But so it's probably Latin, could be Italian. I don't know. They're very similar, I know. But and so you see there's a lot of rhymes in this right here. And let me tell you, when you're translating from one language to another, you're not going to get rhymes. So he paraphrased a lot of this. The spirit of St. Francis of Assisi, his poem, is in this song. And it was put to the tune of a German tune, and you can see it there written in your hymnal, but they're not sure of the origins of that, of the tune, but it's a German tune from like the early 1600s. So the song is very old. The poem dates back 800 to 900 years. And again, it's based on Psalm 48. Let's read that. Psalm 148 starts off with, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light." You know what? I should have got a King James Bible. Let me get one of the pew. The Bible I have is a New American Standard, and although I like a New American Standard, it's just not as poetic. So let's start over. Psalm 148. "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. From the heavens, praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. What a magnificent psalm of praise that God shared with us in Psalm 148. Basically, everything that exists, God commands to praise him. And that is kind of what St. Francis of Assisi was attempting to do with his poem set to music later. All of creation. Now I'm going to share with you what inspired a big word. It's not necessarily adequate here, or kind of overshoots a little bit, but I was watching a documentary the other day. I enjoy watching documentaries. I enjoy watching scientific documentaries. I enjoy watching scientific documentaries about space. And I was watching one on Jupiter, the planet Jupiter. And back in 2016, there was a probe that was sent to Jupiter. I've already forgot the name of the probe, Jonah or something like that. It's not Jonah, but it's some four-letter word. That orbited Jupiter and took some amazing high-definition detailed pictures. Breathtaking. If we had a better setup, high-definition giant TV, you know, we would pull it up and we'd show you some of these pictures. But literally take your breath away. Just the pictures. Now, who here has seen pictures of the Grand Canyon? Who here has been to the Grand Canyon? Do the pictures equate the vastness and the expanse of that? It's something that literally, when I first saw it from a distance, hundreds of yards, I got nervous. I got nervous walking to the edge, which was 100 yards away. I remember walking to it, because, it's like it was the sensation of flying, and I'm just standing on my feet. Feels like I was flying, because it's Earth in 3D. You know, normally it's just 2D, and every once in a while you look up. This is up, down, every which way. It's amazing. These pictures were breathtaking to me. So imagine, if you've been to the Grand Canyon, imagine what it would be like to see something like this. These cloud formations, and you've all seen pictures of Jupiter, and it's got the striated area, and I'll talk a little bit more about what all that is, but it looks like billowy clouds, you know, all over it in lines, but you zoom in and you get closer and closer and closer, and it's like the clouds are like 50, 70 mile canyons, you know, above you and to the side of you, and just all the different colors. So it makes me feel like that is so big and I am so small in the universe. But yet God created me special. He created me one of a kind. He created all of us individually. Not only that, He created all those things and He created us, but yet He shared His grace and His salvation with me. And I didn't deserve it. And I'm just in awe of where I'm at in creation and how God has lifted me up and He holds me in His hand. That just really affects me, and I'm sure it does you too. So what a wonderful hymn of praise. We're going to I'm going to turn to Psalm 19. We're just going to read the first verse of Psalm chapter 19. And it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." And that's what I was feeling when I was watching that documentary on Jupiter. And I like looking at stars a lot. I did it when I was a kid. I'd sit out in the hood of the car. You know, you guys, you're getting older, and I know a lot of you guys can relate. When you're young and you don't have air conditioning, you sleep outside a lot. Because it's just too hot in the house. And or you'd lay out on the hood of the car and you'd look up, back whenever, I guess, light pollution wasn't quite so bad. And you'd look at the stars, and that was really always kind of cool. And fairly early in my adulthood, I bought a fairly nice, for me at the time, telescope. And I would look at the stars. And I tell you, it's just something about seeing. Because you see these pinpricks of light. Some are brighter than others. But then you look at the planets that looks, you know, like stars. And then you zoom in. And you zoom in. And all of a sudden you can see the rings of Saturn. Or you zoom in and you can see Jupiter. And you can see all the lines in Jupiter. And you can see the moons. Let me tell you, that's pretty cool. Do not do this on a full moon, but just use a pair of binoculars and look at a crescent moon. You could see whenever you're looking at it that those aren't just craters. Those are mountains that you're looking at. So it always filled me with awe to look at the sky. And because, I think most of all, because, as it says here in this verse, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. This is what God created. Now I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is where you ask yourself, 1 Corinthians 15, what does that got to do with stars, Ken? Well, let me show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to use the King James again. And we're going to read verses 40 and 41. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 40 and 41. It says, now, let me give you some context here. This is talking about the resurrection. This passage in Scripture is talking about the resurrection. People were confused because the message is out, God is going to raise the dead. That's kind of, you know, a simple explanation, but yet man's imagination goes wild and they think, what, you're going to, a walking corpse is going to go, you know, and all rotten flesh. No. He's telling them that, no, you're going to be glorified. And each person is different. So he's trying to explain to people about the resurrection and how people are different in the eyes of God, but you know, they're all beautiful and they're all unique. And so that's what he's trying to say here. But let me read verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. That means not only are each one of us unique, everything God created in the heavens is unique. Each star is unique. And we know that the latest estimates on the number of galaxies in the universe is over 100 billion. How many people are on the earth right now? About 7 billion people. So we already know that there are more than 10 times the number of galaxies than there are people. And how many stars are in a galaxy? The average number is over 100 billion stars. What did the guy, Marty Harkey, use that number the other day, a Google number, a one with 100 zeros past it, Googleplex? Incomprehensible. The vastness of creation. So 100 billion galaxies, 100 billion stars in each galaxy, and how many planets are around each star? So it's just overwhelming what God has created. Why? Because he wanted to. Two, it shows forth his glory. It shows his glory and his power to all of creation. It shows his power. It shows his infinity, his infinitism, if that's a word. And how did he create those things? He spoke them into existence. You know, when we're going to write something, I'm going to say whoever put together this songbook, it was a team of people, I'm sure, lots of people. But there was a lot of work that went into this, a lot of man hours, a lot, probably years. And yet God said, let there be. And there were trillions and trillions and trillions of things that were created in that instant, that we can't comprehend what he had, what it all entails. In this part right here, how it relates to Jupiter is Jupiter is a planet that orbits around the sun, right? The sun is we know is a relatively small star. It's not a huge star. It's a below average star, but it's just right for us, isn't it? Jupiter itself, and it has, you know, again, raised up, and there were 9 planets, right? And what was the 9th planet? It was Pluto. Well, now they're saying it's not a planet anymore. And man, that really bugs me, because why not? But it's got to do with size. But so science currently tells us, in their definition, that there are 8 planets. And we all know what they are. This Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and that's it. I wanted to say Pluto. Pluto's out there too. And they're all different. They're all different. The smallest planet, besides Pluto, Mercury. Then you got Venus and Earth, and they're about the same size. Mars is smaller. Jupiter, we're going to talk about it. Saturn's huge. We know that. It's got lots of moons. It's got rings. It's got all that cool stuff. And then you got Uranus and Neptune, and they're also gas giants. And they're all different. You've all seen pictures of them. They all look different. They all have different things about them. I want to talk about Jupiter in particular while we spend about 15 minutes talking about Jupiter. Jupiter is called, has been called by many, the vacuum cleaner of the solar system. The reason why is because it's huge. And when I say huge, the mass of Jupiter is equal to 2.5 times the mass of all the other planets combined. So you add Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, those are big planets, big planets. Earth, Venus, Mars, Mercury, you put them all together, times 2.5, and then you get the size of Jupiter. It's got a huge gravitational and magnetic field. When I say huge, it goes from Jupiter all the way to Saturn, and we're talking like 300 million miles. Again, it's big. What happens is when these asteroids and stuff come, you know, because what do we have heard a lot, especially in the last couple, 3 decades, asteroids are what causes mass extinctions, right? They're planet killers. Sooner or later, those asteroids are going to hit the Earth, right, and totally wipe us out. Well, why hasn't it happened yet? Because Jupiter catches them all. A few years ago, you may recall there was like an asteroid or something that hit Jupiter, and they knew it was going to hit it, and so they had cameras trained on it. And they had this big flash, boom. I say big flash. Here's Jupiter, the flash is like, boop. Well, that flash was about the size of the Earth. So it was a big explosion, right? But Jupiter being so big, it just sucked it up, kept on trucking, didn't even bother it. Isn't that an amazing coincidence? No, God put Jupiter where it's at for a reason. And I don't know all of them, but praise God, I know one thing. He keeps asteroids from hitting me. So, this giant planet, Jupiter, it is, and these numbers aren't going to mean a whole lot to you, so I'll try to relate them. It's Jupiter circles the sun in 12 years. So where it takes us 1 year to go around the sun, it takes Jupiter 12 years to go around the sun. It is 484 million miles away from the sun. To put that into context, the Earth is 93 million miles away from the sun. So it's about 5 times further away from us, from the sun. And how many minutes does it take? And Marty just talked about this the other day too, didn't he? It takes 8 minutes to get light from the sun to reach Earth. So multiply that times 5. It takes about 40 minutes from the light from the sun to reach Jupiter. The next planet, you've got, you know, the first 4, Mars, and then you got the asteroid belt. I'm not going to get into that. Then you got Jupiter. The next planet after that is Saturn, and it's 922 million miles away. So it's almost twice as far away as Jupiter. So Jupiter is closer to us than it is the outside, the outer planets. Again, because it's kind of our shield. So it's the third brightest object in the night sky. What's the first? Not a trick question. The moon. The second is Venus. I should have looked it up, how far away Venus is from us. But you can only see Venus in the morning or in the evening. And the reason why is because it's closer to the sun than we are. So we're not going to look at it like here's. It's not going to be that way from us. It's always closer to the sun. But so you can see it. That's generally called the morning star. You see it. It's very bright. The third brightest object is Jupiter. This object that is way far away. Now we know that these objects, unless they're stars, the only way we can see them is that they actually reflect the light that's coming from the sun. So, if you're looking at Jupiter in the night sky, it's going to take 40 minutes from the light
of the Earth, excuse me, the Sun, to go to Jupiter, and it's going to take about 32 to get back to you. So you're looking at light that's been already over an hour, you know, an hour and a half. I talked a lot today. I apologize. My voice is very weak. But so that's an interesting fact. Now, how fast does Jupiter spin? Rotate. How fast does the Earth rotate? How many hours does it take the Earth to rotate? 24 hours. It takes Jupiter to rotate on its axis 10 hours. That's a fast day. I'm about to explain a little bit more about how fast. If the Earth, if at the equator that rotates around its axis, that's actually going, even if you're just sitting still, you're actually, the person just sitting still on the equator on the Earth is traveling about 1,000 miles an hour. You know, that's faster than the speed of sound. So the Earth moves very, very quickly. But Jupiter rotates at 28,000 miles an hour. When I talked about all the storms and everything on Jupiter, Jupiter is a planet that's made up mainly of, they theorize, you know, with scientific evidence, it's made mostly of hydrogen and helium, which is what the Sun is made of. But there's also a lot of other elements in there. It's probably got a heavy core. With all the stuff that's hit it over the years, it's probably got a buildup of a pretty heavy, hefty core. But it's mainly gas, and it's also got some methane and some ammonia in it as well. That's what makes the different colors of Jupiter. And so there's not really any solid ground on Jupiter. It's just gas. It's hard to tell where the atmosphere ends and the solid surface begins. It just keeps getting heavier and heavier and heavier as you go down. The pressure is immense. It'll crush you like a grape. So, you know, there's definitely not a place that mankind could live, but it's mainly gas, right? And this thing spinning at 28,000 miles an hour causes all these this stratification when you see the layers in Jupiter. And if you look at the pictures, and I encourage you sometime to look up Jupiter, and especially the high-definition pictures that were taken by that probe here in the last few years, the breathtaking detail of these storms that are just this atmosphere that just roils and roils, and it roils and roils. And again, what it does to me is it puts me in my place. It's breathtaking, and it's terrifying. To again put kind of the size of Jupiter, I already talked about its weight. The diameter of the Earth is 8,000 miles. You drill a hole from here to China or wherever you come out, Australia or the South China Sea, I'm not sure. It's 8,000 miles straight through the Earth to the other side. Jupiter, it's 87,000 miles. So it's 11 times longer. The Earth's circumference, if you were to travel in a plane around the Earth on the equator, to go, you know, around the world in 80 days, you guys probably saw that movie Once Upon a Time. To do that is 25,000 miles. 25,000 miles. That's a lot of miles. That's about what most people put on our cars in 2 years. So 2 years of driving, you know, you get around the world. For Jupiter, well, before I get to there, 25,000 miles to the circumference of the Earth. The distance from the Earth to the Moon, which is a long way, right? Takes days for rockets to get there.
From the earth to the moon is 239,000 miles. But the diameter, the circumference of Jupiter is 273,000 miles. It's more than the distance from here to the moon to go around the equator of Jupiter. These storms that I talked about, they're the result of this thing is, the planet is made up of mostly gases, and it's spinning so fast that it causes all this turbulence and these storms. And there are, you know, what happens when we have storms here? You have friction with the water in the air, and it causes lightning. Imagine what it's like on Jupiter. It's got like that all the time, this constant, you know, amazing, powerful thunderstorms. These storms are never ending. They never stop. One of the cool things, too, about this probe is not only did they take pictures of the side of Jupiter, but they took it at the north and the south pole of Jupiter. And the color is like blue. It's not like you look at it from that from the top. It's like, that ain't Jupiter. But yeah, it really is. And they have anywhere from 6 to 8 massive cyclonic hurricanes that rotate in a ring around the North Pole and the South Pole. These hurricanes, like I said, 6 to 8 of them, these hurricanes, they're bigger than the United States. We all know about hurricanes that come up from the Gulf or the Atlantic and they hit the United States. And we see the map of them, and they're like, oh, man, that's big. And it gets to land, and it's like about the size of, I mean, it's big, but like what, size of Texas sometimes? That's pretty big. No, we're talking about the size of the United States. These hurricanes that are all ringed around that. Again, just the detail that God has done to just one planet. And if we were to study each and every planet, we would come up with all these other fascinating things, too. One of the most famous things about Jupiter is it's got the great red spot, that big red spot on Jupiter. That thing is another storm. And, of course, scientists, just like most of creation, they don't understand why it's that way, why it stays that way. But this storm is twice the size of the Earth. Twice the size of the Earth. Jupiter has a lot of moons. Right now they count it 79. Jupiter has 79 moons. Now that's a lot of moons. We have one. There are some planets that don't have any. Jupiter being the largest planet, you would figure it probably has the most moons. Now most of these moons, 60 of them, are fairly small as moons go. They're in the size of like 6 miles. So a 6 mile rock. Now, that doesn't sound real big, but, you know, that's from here to past Sand Springs. You know, that's a pretty good chunk. But the other, what, we got 19 are very big. There are actually 4 main moons in Jupiter. And if you were to look at them on a picture, again, I wish we had a slide I could show you. If you put these four main moons of Jupiter together, they, you know, what does our moon look like? It's full of craters and it's gray and, you know, that's kind of what it looks like. The man in the moon, the cheese. None of these moons look like our moon. None of these moons look like any of the other moons. They're all different. Which really shows me again, are we different? Not just are the stars different, but the planets are different. The moons are different. They're all different. These four main moons, they're Io is the closest one to Jupiter. Europa, you probably have heard of these names. Ganymede and Callisto. They're very big. In fact, one of them, Ganymede, is so big, it's bigger than Mercury. It's bigger than the planet Mercury. Here's another cool thing about those first three moons, Io, Europa, and Ganymede. Is God has built them into like a perfect clock. We know that
that a second hand spins, goes around a clock every 60 seconds, a minute hand goes around a clock every 60 minutes, and an hour hand goes around a clock every 24 or every 12 hours. This is kind of like that. The first moon, Io, it makes one. No, let's go. Let me explain it a different way. Let's go out to the third one, Ganymede. Ganymede makes one rotation, one orbit around Jupiter. The next one, Europa, it makes two in the time exactly, two in the exact time that Ganymede does one. Io, the first one, it goes around four times. It's set almost perfectly in sync. That this one spins four times, this one spins two, and this one spins one. That blows my mind, how God has got something that we can see, and all you need is a pair of binoculars, and you can see these moons. It's not something he was hidden and, you know, we couldn't find out. Mankind has been able to see these things for hundreds of years. Why am I telling you all this? Because we serve an awesome God. There's a song that I'm fond of that came out three, four years ago. And it's called So Will I 100 Billion Times. It's a praise song, but there's a verse in it that I really enjoy. Of course, I enjoy most of the song, but it says, God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. And it says, for once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. He's created it all. Don't listen to science that tries to dispute or refute God. That's a lie of Satan. There was a book. Sorry? No. There was a book that came out a few years ago called The Case for the Creator. It was written by Lee Strobel. It made such an impression on me, I bought several copies and handed out to friends. But the guy was a scientist. And he was brought to Christ because he saw the wonderful, amazing things that he was studying, and he realized this isn't an accident. He saw the glory of his creation, and it led him to Christ. Praise the Lord for that. We serve an awesome God. We have a lot of prayer requests. We have a lot of needs. But our God is faithful and true to his word. He answers prayers. He dispenses his grace as he wills. And he loves us, we know. And although we don't understand sometimes why we go through things, he does. And that's good enough. So with that, we're going to take prayer requests now. And I think Crystal's going to take these down. But of course, we know right off the bat, Kelly Mills. We need to pray fervently for Kelly Mills. A couple weeks ago, she just wasn't here for church. And I didn't think anything of it. Wasn't feeling good, I guess. And then a few days later, found out, oh, she's in the hospital. Oh, she had COVID. Oh, my goodness, she's losing lung capacity. It just kept getting worse and worse, it sounded like. And the latest is that she is on a ventilator. And there is some good positive news. Most of you have probably read that there's some blood count numbers or something that are coming up. So that's encouraging. And, you know, a lot of times don't get on a ventilator. You probably heard this. Don't get on a ventilator. That's a death sentence. That's not true. How do I know that's not true? Because my brother was on a ventilator. He was on a ventilator for like a month. And he came off that ventilator. Bob went with me several times to go visit him. And he wasn't able to speak for a long time. And he would just smile. And then one day he finally came to and started talking. And he was himself. And he had no memory of what all happened. Another person that I know that was on a ventilator for a while was Robin's aunt, Aunt Carlene. You always have that debate. Oh, do we put them on the ventilator or do we not? Depending on their state, give them a chance. Give them a chance because I've seen people come through it. The doctor described it to my niece at the time, or she's my niece now, but she's an adult, and they were asking her, what do you want to do? Basically, you want to pull the plug. I was about to come unglued because I knew my brother wants to live. Give him a chance. And so she did. You know, with my strong urging, and praise the Lord, he came through. But we know that God works as he wills. But the doctor told us, my niece at the time, a ventilator is just a tool. It's just a tool to help your body when it can't help itself. So that's all it is. But yeah, we need to pray heavy for Kelly. Any more prayer requests?